And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot for Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit there.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again.
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. You hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night.
I think you got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Hello and welcome to the Warriors Plus Minus podcast. We'll call this the training camp edition. Second big one of the season we've done, and all three of us here again. I don't know. You guys take us wherever you want to go right away. I have no template for
short for... training camp. Short training camp, yes. Right? Squeezed in 1 week. Before you know it, this thing's going to be over. I know. Listen, they don't really do training camp, but they're not going to Fort Collins, Colorado, and singing Kumbaya. I guess maybe you think the mini camps kind of took care of that, Slater. You think they kind of try to
I actually heard stuff. Something that said the league is now allowing teams almost start practice like the 15th of September, even though media day is not until October 1st. Now, I think it's more unofficial. I don't know if there's like various like coaching rules, how many coaches you can have out there actually doing drills. But yeah, I mean, look, the NBA teams, half the league's been practicing, I think, for a couple weeks now, number one.
Yeah, if you're getting Chris Paul, 38-year-old, in pretty heavy practices, you're basically been having camp already, whether they're talking about
it. The other thing is, I would say training camp for this team is they obviously have this week where they are practicing pretty hard Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, play Saturday, but they're going to be off Sunday, it sounds like, and then I think Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you might have hard practices again because they don't play again until that next Friday. So to me, although it is almost like a 2 week camp, there's probably going to be six, seven hard practices. So that plus, I mean, we all know. Remember when the preseason was 8 games and it was just like
it's ridiculous.
That was way too long.
So what is it now? 5 games? 4 games?
Five games.
Yeah, that's all right. That's the right number. And I think we're going to see some stuff. I think we're going to see Kerr do some. He's already talking about it yesterday about. No Draymond, obviously, for a little while longer. So Chris Paul's in the starting lineup. They're going to look at stuff. I think this is actually going to be a pretty interesting training camp. I mean, whatever it is. And I know I'm going to be there Saturday. I think it's going to be relatively interesting. Let me just see who Paul's playing with, how it's working. And we know we're going to see him with the starters, and we know we're going to see him with, Kuminga and Saric, too. I think they've had enough time together that it actually going to look like something. Or if it looks terrible, that's interesting too.
Do you guys remember preseason 2 years ago? And I'm like, he DNP'd Kuminga and Moody, who were rookies in the first couple games because he was playing Bielitsa and he was playing Porter, and he was like, it was like a pretty dense veteran rotation.
JTA and they're right.
They went 5-0 in preseason. And then they came out and beat the Lakers in Staples Center opening night. Remember, it was like the big Bielitsa game. I know you were there, Marcus, for that game. It felt like they thought preseason really helped them. The way they attacked preseason helped them get that start that we've all talked about, the 18-2 one. So I think they are attacking this preseason a little bit similar to that one.
So is Dario the Bielitsa?
He's better than Bielitsa. He's better than Bielitsa.
He's younger.
Yeah, younger and just... He might actually shoot the three in the second half of the season, which we did not see Bielitsa do very much of.
I just remember that first game. Was it in L.A.? Yeah, it was in L.A. when Bielitsa's like making plays. He's like passing the ball.
Playmaker. He's a playmaker. European playmaker.
It was unbelievable. TK, you wrote about Chris Paul, and he said the words everybody was waiting for him to say. Finally,
Could have said it in July.
Yeah, but he said it. Full disclosure, I was not there at Media Day, but you know, so I read everything you wrote, and I just thought that was interesting. Why do you think it happened now?
I think he's been around the guys. It's a typical Warrior thing. I mean, you tell me if you think it's wrong. This is what they did with Durant. You just kind of surround him, and you support him, and you do. We're gonna do what you want, Kevin. We're gonna run the place. Like, you just let him get immersed in the Warrior thing. Steph, Draymond, Clay, Steve, whatever, and then they see what works, and if they're smart, you know, thoughtful NBA players, which we know Kevin Durant and Chris Paul are, and I'll throw Wiggins in there. I've compared this to Wiggins' vaccination status. Remember 2022? He was like that. He went to the press conference, and it was like, no, I don't want to do it. They let him kind of feel it out, what's going to be best for the team, and then what do? You do is you don't force them into anything. You don't like make fun of them. You don't push them. You just let them see it. And I think Chris Paul over like the several past weeks, we thought he would see it in camp. Clearly it's happened in the last few weeks. And it just makes common sense. Best starting lineup in the NBA last year. Very proud group of players. I really am underlining that I don't think Kevon Looney's any automatic out anymore. Like, you're just going to pull Kevon Looney out just because that's what you do because he's a nice guy. They're not there. I think Chris Paul had seen that, was probably going to see it eventually, but saw it already in these workouts or just being around Steph and Draymond and Clay. And yesterday or whatever day it was, I can't even remember what day it was, Monday, that's what we heard. And I don't think Chris Paul was going into this, I'm going to cause trouble, I'm going to be defined. We've said it. He needs to be good this season.
Man, I think he was like, y'all not determined in this. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, like, is this not going to be decided in the media? Like,
yeah. Yes, no question. And he's going to be a little grouchy on stuff. That's just Chris Paul. But I liked him. I liked it. I was telling Slater, like, right after, like, I liked him. I like that directness. He's going to stare you down sometimes. But that's okay. He's not trying to win you over. I like that. He's just like going to give you a direct answer. There's going to be a logic to it. You don't have to agree with it. And I'm sure like the Warriors players don't agree with everything he says. Like, they don't agree with each other all the time. And he's not going to be like the charm thing. He's not doing the cutesy thing. And I think that's going to be good. You know, maybe not long term, but it's going to be good for this season. And we saw it. And I was bringing this up to a person I won't even identify, but someone who knows everybody about this whole thing. The comparison to him and Jordan Poole is just so dramatic. It's just like, I know they're not saying we didn't want Jordan Poole and we only want Chris Paul. That's not how it worked. But when you flop them out, it's such a dramatic difference. Chris Paul can irritate people. Yes, he can be obnoxious. Yes, they've hated him. Yes. But he's so direct. That's part of it. He's direct. He's sarcastic. He's in your face. And Jordan was not like that. Jordan was indirect. Jordan was passive aggressive. Jordan was shrug. And I know he's a good guy, but this is very different. And I think it's refreshing for the Warriors. It's refreshing just to see it. And I felt that whole thing. It was 15 minutes, but I thought it was really good 15 minutes.
It is. You're correct. I think Chris Paul, the personality, clearly is what they needed. And like probably 70% of what they traded for was Chris Paul, the personality. But, you know, like, look, they had Andre Iguodala in their locker room last year. And that's a personality they love. But the reality is Andre Iguodala played 3 games because he wasn't healthy. And I'm not saying Chris Paul is in danger of playing 3 games this season, but there is also potentially a big difference between Paul and Poole on the court.
No question.
I agree with all of the high marks so far of Chris Paul, the person, and the way they are attempting to really integrate it as quick as possible. We got to see what he's got left. You know what I mean? He had kind of a down season last year, but also, you know, injury riddled season. Some of his burst has been gone. His, you know, some of that defensive chops has kind of eroded. So I got to see him on the court, because the reality is, again, like I said, I don't want to compare it too much to Andre, but like, Andre was around last year and it was fantastic. If you were around the Warriors, you knew how much Andre Iguodala mattered off the court, but he couldn't do anything on the court. And I'm not saying Paul is there. We're going to
see. Andre hadn't done much on the court for a couple of years.
No, too, you're right. So maybe the better comparison is Andre like 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a demanding position. And also, in that, if he's going to play 22 minutes, you know, most of the games or maybe a little more, how's he going to take that? Like, how's he going to go? He might go 0-for-4, two points off the floor, and they're finishing with the starting lineup. How does he feel about that? We don't know. But I just am struck by the difference in tone when Chris Paul walks into your building. Maybe it's too much, but I like it so far.
It seems to have invigorated Draymond.
Yep.
Right? Like,
where the Jordan Poole contrast might work it for that one, too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. One of the things I was looking forward to was Steve. We've seen him like with these different iterations. We've seen him with really young teams. We've seen him with really old teams. Slater, you get a sense that he prefers this because he doesn't have to do so much hands-on. Like, it's a lot of guys who just kind of know how to play. Do you get a sense Steve might like this, you know, six starters type of deal?
Yes.
I think that. Yeah, I think that. You think? Really? You sure about that?
I mean, they were as nice as they could be about it last year, but the reality was they felt very overloaded with youth, where it wasn't just, you know, hey, integrate Wiseman, which was a very challenging piece to try to get on the floor, but also Kuminga, Moody, Rollins, Baldwin, you know,
Rollins.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Dunleavy's admitted it. They tipped the scales too far.
Well, what did Draymond do? Like, he put his hand, like, yeah, one side of experience went way to one, like Draymond's wingspan, and then he kind of didn't complete the sentence. But, like, yeah, the difference in experience was too big last season. And the young guys did not, you know, accelerate their own thing fast enough to meet.
Yeah, to be honest, and you could hear with the way that Draymond and Steve Kerr are praising Mike Dunleavy pretty openly, they took into account what the veterans and very much what Steve Kerr wanted when rebuilding the roster this summer. When they got a Dario Saric, who Kerr obviously loves, has always loved, when they got Corey Joseph, you know, there were other guard options out there at the minimum. Malik Beasley, I know, was one that there was at least tires kicked on. And it's like, nah, you know, they wanted like the high assist to turnover ratio, third string point guard, you know, that type of player. So even the draft pick, Trayce Jackson-Davis gets flipped for, you know, Patrick Baldwin Jr. Well, you know why? Because that's a guy who played 4 years under Mike Woodson at Indiana and might be able to step in and help a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, to answer your question, yeah, I think he very much prefers this full roster compared to last year's full roster.
He definitely seemed happy, right? He just had, I don't know, it's training camp, everybody's a little happy, but he just felt like he had some energy about him. I noticed it just watching it back. What'd you think of Steph Curry? Like, just fill me in. I wasn't there, so I want the on the ground vibes.
We got to give the whole thing.
I want the on the ground vibes. I read your article
because, you know, I posted what was about it. I ended up writing my whole story yesterday about it, really, or at least leading it. But so we get into practice first, you know, when they open the doors and. You know, the first thing you're looking for is like, I kind of want to see, you know, where's Chris Paul? You know, what's he doing? Well, he's in the weight room, him, Steph, you know, Draymond, some of the rookies are in the weight room. It's like, you can't really see much from where we're standing. So we go do Steve Kerr, and I'm wondering if maybe they waited, you know, Chris Paul didn't want to be seen, you know, working out post game with the media out there. I walked back where it's still open, and it's Chris Paul and Steph Curry with the gym cleared out and Bruce Frazier, and they are walking and they're walking through like various Warriors actions and really deeply discussing it, and they probably were out there for an hour. You know, I would say half of it was probably just like a normal shooting routine, but it's not Chris Paul on one half court and Steph Curry on the other. It's Steph Curry on his half court that we all know he's always on with Bruce Frazier, and Chris Paul doing the exact Steph Curry workout. And then, you know, and I'm sure Chris Paul would probably be like, hey, look, some of my stuff was implemented and I'm not just doing Steph Curry stuff. But it's clearly very intentional right now for those two to be.
Have we seen this before, Slater? Have we seen another superstar come in?
Yes, we have. Number 35. But I don't know. Marcus, I don't know if you saw the video I put out, but like, you know, they were doing like Draymond type, like catch, throw it back. And then they would come together and be like, well, do you like it coming this way and that way? And I was like, this is interesting.
It was interesting to watch Steph look at Chris Paul and be like, all right, like it's, I mean, can you imagine this for Steph? Like, he grew up looking up to Chris Paul. Like, it's gotta be just, I'm sure that maybe they've overcome it by now, but it has to be the most weird dynamic, not just their history on the court, but like when Steph got drafted, like he's at Chris Paul's house learning like about the league. And now it's like, all right, man, here's how we do things on my team, right? Like,
and it is very much like that. It's like, come learn my stuff. Yeah. I think part of it was interesting because it was like Chris Paul was playing the Looney Draymond type role, and then they actually flipped it, and suddenly Steph is the one, like, he's doing, like, the dribble handoff type guard-to-guard stuff. And because I think that, you know, he's trying to learn from Steph, like, oh, you know, maybe that's a nice action where I can get a jumper. And also, again, I think if Chris Paul heard this conversation, he'd sit there and be like, you don't think I've ever run a split cut before? You don't think I've ever done a dribble handoff? Like, I know how to do
this. He's played for 19 years. Yeah, come on.
But I don't know if he was doing a lot of that in New Orleans, actually, too much with Tyson Chandler. But yeah, it's interesting.
But it's clearly a chemistry build, right? Like, this is – we see them do this. It's like you say, TK, like, I mean, obviously he's done it with other players. Has he ever done with a player this good? Like, has he ever kind of let's figure out how we're going to operate?
This good, yeah, right? The guy who usually runs his own team.
The ball in someone else's hands, and
that's what makes Chris, it you unique
do the,
to me.
Yeah, you do the action that gets the guy, someone else, the ball. You know, usually he's controlling it and getting the pick himself, and then moving the ball. It's interesting, and you know, it's one moment in practice. I'm sure CP3's loving that Slater's got it out on the video for everyone to see and speculate about. But it's
that's what I was almost trying to get at. I was surprised that I was like, they're just allowing me to watch this. And okay,
they like probably didn't know like who's this guy over there.
There were some glances over. Like,
it's interesting, and they could be doing 17 different stuff when no one's watching, and that's all good. I just think the one thing I got from Steph, you get certainly from Draymond and from Clay and from everybody, is that CP3 is a thing. Like, they're not just like, oh yeah, just come on in and it's just another guy. And like Wiggins might have been like that. Just a guy.
Wiggins was like that.
Yeah. Just a guy.
Yeah,
right?
This
really
isn't
guy.
Wiggins. Yeah.
Really good guy, but you just got to do our thing. Like CP3, they've got to concentrate on. They've got to talk about. They got to think about.
And they've got to hear. They've got to listen. Right? Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
Chris is going to say things and think things that are different. And we're going to say, okay, maybe we don't do it that way. And Draymond does not say that stuff usually. He just doesn't.
Like, I don't know. I think he kind of did when it was Kelly Oubre, right? He was like, yeah, Kelly. What do you have to say about
it? I think you did that, actually.
What do you, give me your opinion on this matter. Yeah.
So instead of me going and pinning down Steph, how about I just stand in the corner and pass for three?
It's a funny pool. That's a funny pool.
I just think it's respect always. It's the only way this is going to work. CP3 is a thing. He's got his way of thinking, he's won a lot of games. They aren't going to change who they are for him, but they're going to alter some of the little things that fit him best. They've just never had another guy like that. Durant, I always take Durant out. That's just another thing entirely. Just like the second unit guy, like Kerr was talking about yesterday, just haven't had an offensively kind of leader on the second unit that you really can think can go outscore another second unit. You know, they've had some good guys on it. They just haven't had this. So it's different. And I think we're all seeing it. We're all feeling it. They're feeling it. We don't know what the locker room is going to be like. That's what I'm really looking forward to. Just Saturday, what the locker room dynamics, even for the first preseason game. Where is Chris Paul's locker? We've talked about this. Is it far from Draymond? Is it close to Draymond? Is he going to be talking? Is he going to be sitting there, you know, going over stuff? Is he going to be there when we're there? Just what's that like? And it'll tell us what maybe the atmosphere is like a little bit. And
it's funny the way he kind of scoffs at certain... like
the
narratives
young guys,
that
the
that,
young guys thing, right?
He yeah, like
that
or you know, I asked him about because you know, I mean, we've seen it, right? They're like trying to attach Kuminga to him. They have Steve Kerr said it yesterday. We've purposefully all summer put Jonathan Kuminga on Chris Paul's team in the scrimmages. Clearly, when the non-Steph minutes are a targeted thing with this trade, was to have Chris Paul out there, and that includes Kuminga. And every single, like, Draymond Green is going on podcasts talking about how this is going to help Kuminga more than anyone. And then you ask Chris Paul about it, and he's just like, yeah, you know, Kuminga's great, but, like, I'm not here to help Jonathan Kuminga. Like, if my presence helps him, cool. My presence should help everybody. It's just, so, you know, it's funny. We're talking about locker placement where, again, when we were debating it last week, he's like, hey, maybe they'll put him next to Kuminga because that'll help. But I'd almost feel like he'd be like, no, I'm not just this, like, you know, wise head here to like help your
I'm not babysitting.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't want to be Andre too. And Andre had all the strengths and was very valuable, but last season that's not what Chris Paul wants to be. Play four games and you're an elder statesman and you're like an assistant coach. No, Chris Paul wants to play basketball. He's a hooper, as he keeps saying. And so he is resisting this, oh yeah, you're gonna be so good for the young players. You're gonna be like, no, I'm gonna play ball. and, you know, playing good basketball is what the way the most valuable way I can contribute to this team. It's all, you know, again, one day, whatever, we'll see how it all breaks out. But I think that's the way this has to work. It has to work where he's kind of his own second unit thing. And maybe you don't say it like that, but like that has got to be an identity. And it just hasn't been, you know, certainly not the last few years. But even when they're winning championships, that second, you know, you put Nick Durant in the second unit, or, you know, Draymond will have to be on the second unit. Like, if they can have a separate second unit, Saric, Kuminga, CP3, maybe Moody, you know, GP2 and or whoever, like that would, what kind of, you know, lift would that be for Steph and Draymond and Clay? Like, you do not have to win, especially Steph, right? We know Steph minutes. Last year, I think they got to win the Steph minutes by at least 6. Like, what if this, you don't have to win every game by +6 when Steph plays? What
if at the end of the year, Chris Paul's net rating, or, you know, plus minus, when he's on the floor and Steph's not on the floor, is 0, that is a huge, monster development for the Warriors. Huge.
What if Steph is checking in the fourth quarter and it's not up 1, it's up 7? Like, that's just gigantic, because how many times are they just, oh no, the second unit gave it back and now Steph's got to come back in. He better come back in early now, because he's getting a little shaky. That's what they're looking for. And the only way they can do that is if Chris Paul feels like he's respected and listened to. And I think that's what we're feeling here in the last few days.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Who's the most likely, you know, because I believe Steve Kerr is going to do what Steve Kerr does. And assuming Draymond and Steph's minutes are tied together, who's the starter that goes in the second unit with Chris Paul? Because I think he's
Wiggins or Clay, because they'll want spacing.
Definitely, you know, one of those, right?
Yeah. We know it's not Looney. We know it's not Draymond for spacing purposes, and he'll be tied to Steph. We know it's not Steph because they're separate. You know, he's running.
Do you think they group Clay with Steph and Draymond and keep those together and put Wiggins with them? I actually think
it might be Wiggins, because Wiggins is less shot hungry and more able to guard the best scorer on the other team. So I don't know, they're going to try so many combinations. So here's, it's going to be both is the answer.
Yeah, if you remove Wiggins from more minutes with the first unit, then who's guarding that great offensive player?
Well, I mean, the thing, and they'll tell you about Wiggins is like, Wiggins wants to play 40 minutes tonight. He's playing 40 minutes tonight.
He's playing 40 minutes, yep. He always wants to play 40 minutes.
Maybe. Yeah, just like, here's the thing. As Kerr talked about specifically yesterday, really for the first time, but we all knew it, Clay is not guarding twos and, you know, not guarding good threes probably most times. He didn't do it last few seasons. And Kirk just said he's going to be playing fours when they're playing small. This is what he's doing. Well, that really makes Andrew Wiggins so valuable, because who the hell else is going to guard Luka? I mean, we know. Again, we talked about it during title season, but now it's basically official. It's who's going to guard Kyrie? Someone's going to guard both of them because they're on the same team. But who's going to guard those great scoring guards and wings that
Gary Payton the second?
Yeah, I mean, but he's not starting. So in that starting lineup, who's guarding them? There's no one else to do it but Wiggins.
Yeah.
And that's just so valuable. It's going to be hard. Yeah, it's going to be hard to take him off the floor. It really, unless it's for GP2 And, you know, that's going to be spots here and there. Other than that, they don't have that guy. And that's why Clay was so massively valuable, right? Before the leg injuries.
Steve had a pretty firm quote on Gary yesterday. I don't know if you guys heard it, but it was like, first of all, he said that their like main goal entering camp is to reestablish the top 10 defense. And then he's like,
and Gary, he basically said, we're going to do it with Gary. We're going to do it with Gary.
Yeah, he said Gary's one of the best on-ball defenders in the league. He's in the rotation. He'll close games if he's rolling. We kind of know this, it was just interesting. He just came out and was like, look, he's in the rotation. He might close.
He started game six against the Lakers. He started game six against the Lakers. I mean, like, they believe in this guy. And this is when he was not at 100%. Like, GP2 is an important player.
Absence made the heart grow fonder, right?
Oh, God, yeah. Remember, there's no way we can take this contract. Oh, that Portland contract, it's crazy. Yo, more power to him, but there's no way we can do that. Oh, let's trade for him. Let's get
it. Might have been less absence and more just like the turnstiles of perimeter defense they saw at times last year. Just whoosh. Gary clearly feels physically better right now.
He feels better. Moses Moody, I thought, might get some of those minutes, but I think GP2 is ahead of Moses Moody. You know, it's just the way it is. Moody's shooting is going to be important, but I think GP2. Listen, who got the start in game six? It was GP2.
Can we talk about the Clay guarding fours a little bit? Because I think it like stunned a lot of people that saw just like the direct, hey, Steve Kerr says Clay Thompson's going to guard power fours this year. He's been doing it. He guarded Jared Vanderbilt in the playoff series last year. When he says fours, it's not, hey, opening night, lock up Anthony Davis.
But
hey,
it's like big, guard, small threes, too.
Hey, we're right? playing big, the Pelicans, Clay on Zion on an island. That's fine. it's just more when they play small, because Andrew Wiggins has to guard, you know, your best small forwards, your best wings, even at times your best guard scorers.
Your best point guard, yeah.
Clay has to leap over Andrew Wiggins and guard fours. And we've seen it back to, remember Kevin Love? I mean, that was a big thing, right, back in the day?
Absolutely. That's
Clay guarding Kevin Love in the post.
Remember, Clay was guarding like centers during the 22 playoff run, you know, on switches a little bit, but he was holding his own. I think, didn't he get some Jokic minutes? I think he did, or at least a couple like switches, and he wasn't terrible at it. He's just, that's what he is now. He's not a guy who can chase guards, and they're acknowledging it. They were acknowledging it by the way they played. I mean, did he get any like perimeter defense minutes against the Kings in that series? I don't think so. It's just who he is now, and they have to, you know, accommodate that. They have to figure out a way around that, and they are going to be light some, you know, a little on the wing defense when they don't have GP2 in with Wiggins, or they don't have Moody in with all those guys, and they're adapting to it. By Clay's going to guard. Yeah, I mean, remember we were joking about it on opening night, if they play Chris Paul, you know, and take Looney off, then Clay's guarding the center, right? That's what we were saying. Took some heat from that, but I don't think that's back when the Suns had Ayton, but we broke it down, and you're like, the natural guy for Clay to guard sometimes is going to be even the center. So that's what he is. He guards those guys.
What's interesting, and you know, I don't know, you guys have heard Draymond specifically mentioned the Lakers when I was talking to, when I asked him about the center spot the other day, and adding another big, but they're playing the Lakers Saturday. They're starting this extremely small lineup. I don't know who's playing for the Lakers. The Lakers might rest everyone, or, you know, everyone that matters. But I would love to see the Lakers come out and start LeBron at the 3, AD at the 4, and, you know, one of their centers, Christian Wood or whoever, at the 5, just to see how the Warriors would match up. Because technically in that lineup, Anthony Davis is the 4. And, again, you don't want Clay on Davis. You'd probably go Looney on Davis. But then are we talking about Clay guarding like the Christian Woods of the world, you know, a 5? Again, I don't even know if
the Lakers would start him. I think he would, yeah.
But I do too, which is interesting. It's just there might be times he's guarding 5s. Like, he's going to guard the least threatening front court guy.
Yep.
And there are certain matchups that, hey, look, if they're playing a team that just like, this ain't going to work, that's when they are going to start the two bigs, you know, or, you know, you plug in a Kuminga in the starting lineup or a Saric or something like
but
that.
But I think, but, I mean, and we haven't really talked about this, and it's not as sexy to write about, but the closing unit was where this is really going to get interesting, because that's where CP3 could close. Looney is not someone they're going to take off the floor very often. The rebounding is ridiculous. Then who are you taking off? I mean, it really might be Clay. I've kind of said this a few times, and I've not gotten any resistance from Warriors people I trust. Like, it's possible, right? I mean, they're not predicting it. They're just like, it's possible. And if you look at the math of it, unless Clay, you know, Clay could be playing great. I mean, that's obviously on the table and he could be hitting threes and he'd be doing all the stuff Clay does. But I'm thinking in the closing lineup, if they're getting CP3 in there, or if GP2's playing great, right? I mean, we've seen him close. It might be the leading candidate in that scenario to not be closing from the big bunch is Clay Thompson.
Marcus, what's the topic that's of interest to you in this first week?
How are the Cowboys going to stop Christian McCaffrey? Like, that's See, what...
Why that's you side
Miami Dolphin podcast. What are you talking about?
This ain't the week. We don't need. We don't. We got zero Dolphins talk this week. Let's go Warriors.
Come on, man. We got 49ers Cowboys Sunday night coming up. This is gonna be the game of the year. Today,
bigger than the Warriors' first preseason game. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I know which one I'm gonna be at.
I'm like, to me, the Kuminga part is just the most interesting. Because like so much of this other stuff, we already know these dudes. The wild card of this team is Kuminga. And, you know, I try my best not to fall for social media campaigns when people are pushing workout video. Yeah, yeah. It's so enticing,
Ben
man.
Simmons
people look so good.
They're all looking good. They're all looking so good.
I fall for the banana in the tailpipe every time. I'm like, man, look at Kuminga. This is breakout year for Kuminga. And they're talking about how good he looks, but in the end, will they play him? Like, literally, will they play him? And you think about the rookies, do they don't have a shot, right? Pajemski.
Hey, I don't know. Pajemski's team was dominating scrimmages yesterday. We heard from Steve Kerr, but he didn't want to talk about that specifically. We'll
see. So the problem, I don't want to say the problem with the summer tapes that you're talking about, because I do think he's becoming a better player and maybe he does explode. But a lot of it was just like ISO scoring, dribble moves, pull up, mid-range.
Exactly what the Warriors want from him. What do you mean?
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, okay, like, you know what? He wasn't doing a mixtape of his, like, boxed out, rebound. You know,
running the floor hard. Yeah.
Yes, run the floor hard.
Rotate
to
defense.
The corner. Make Rotate. The extra pass, Jonathan. He may be doing those things. And if he does those things, maybe the other stuff really blossoms. Hey, maybe he becomes like a, you know, can't bench 28-minute pregame player this year, because I do think some of his other skills really are sharpening up. I would say this. He was in a very good mood media day. Chatted with him a little bit, you know, off to the side, and he's just like, he seems to be in a good headspace, whatever that means. They are saying he's looked good, but again, the game needs to start. He needs to get in the game, and he needs to, like, not miss a box out and, like, make an extra pass. Like, that's... Sadly, I mean, I'm sure he doesn't love that that's the state of things, but that's kind of what matters, right?
Well, the part that we saw, that I saw, that had me thinking like, oh, here he comes, was the in the paint, like, explode and dunk, or like from various spots on the court. He's just like taking off and he's dunking, taking off and he's dunking, which to me, I feel like if that's his mindset, that's a big deal. Instead of taking that three, one dribble, dunk, right? You get the ball in the paint, just go up and dunk it. If he does that, it's going to be tough to keep him off the floor. But like you said, it comes with all the other stuff. The thing that keeps him off the floor the most, I think, is rebounding. Yeah. Like, he's on the floor and he doesn't rebound. So
that's what we're always told by the head coach. Well, so I'm believing
the Kings series, Kerr basically cited that for why his minutes went down. It was zero rebounds in like 12 minutes in game one, whatever it was, or game two. I can't. This is all blurring in my mind now, but. Can he just do that stuff that lets them keep him on the floor, even if he's not making shots? And it becomes down to, like, you know, if he's not doing that stuff, he misses his first shot, he's coming off the floor. Can he work to, what I like, tough twos? Can he work his way to two? They have such trouble with that. And they basically got beat by that because the Lakers made a bunch of tough twos and the Warriors could not make tough twos. And Kuminga, I don't know if he's going to be making a ton of them, but he could get them. Can he get two of them, you know, a stint? Can he, you know, can they play him 14 minutes? Backup four? They still don't have a backup four. I guess we're saying it could be Clay now, but, like, who's their backup four? Who is it?
I mean, Sarge is going to play in some two big lineups.
I just don't think they're going to want to play too much of that. I mean, it gets a little clunky. I think they want Sarge with Kuminga. So, like, their Kuminga is your backup four. I don't know. I mean, who's Sarge playing for with? Looney? You know?
Yeah. Draymond? Yeah. I think he could. There's so many combos, but
it's a little slow group there. But the minutes are there. It's the Anthony Lamb minutes. We've said, like, those minutes that Steve Kerr needs to find another four should be there for Kuminga. And you know, he's going to have to earn them.
There is another intriguing two-way option, and we know how two-way options are very capable of breaking into Steve Kerr's rotation.
I mean, they like Rudy Gay. Like,
no, I'm not talking Rudy Gay.
Usman Garuba.
Yeah. Like, I actually not joking. I'm actually intrigued by this pickup. He was a first round pick. He got kind of hyped. The Warriors, as he mentioned, were like high on him pre-draft. Again, that I'm going too deep cut for. Training camp.
He could get minutes. I don't see him as someone who fits the flow of the offense. I just don't see that. I might be wrong. That's why I kind of highlighted his 3-point shooting. But I don't know how you can bank on his 3-point shooting. And he's energy minutes. Those could be.
Man, he's a goon, bro. Yeah, he's a goon.
They do need stuff like that. Too. He's got those big.
He's
broad
a good
shoulder.
Shot blocker.
He's kind of like no question. But are you going to have him on the floor with Draymond?
No.
You get him on the floor with Looney, probably. Like it becomes pretty tricky to figure out exactly how that works. It's basically the Kuminga minutes, and so basically you'd be playing and Kuminga wouldn't. That kind of gets problematic for me. But I agree. I mean, he's an interesting talent. Like you put him on the floor, you're going to go, that guy belongs in the NBA. I have zero doubt about that.
Yeah, it's like you're playing a big man. You need to make him feel you for 5 minutes at a time. You know, thinking. Jokic, right? It's like, exactly. let's not tear down Draymond in regular season.
He gave you some fouls against Jokic, which, you know, I know a lot of people are clamoring for the extra big, and they're talking more traditional center, but in a lot of ways, he is the extra big.
Yeah, Anthony Davis. We need someone to go, bug Anthony Davis.
Be physical with him. Yeah, just
be
physical.
And he's long. I mean, he's not real tall, but he's really long. You could tell that. Yeah, you always need bodies. Like, they ran out of them last season, so I don't dispute that. I just, you probably would want to see Kuminga get the. They'd be better off if Kuminga's getting. If
how many times was that being said last year? But it wasn't Kuminga on the floor.
That's also
Slater.
True.
You've been saying Kuminga should be on the floor since preseason of his rookie year.
Year one.
He's not the only one. He's not the only one. There might be some people in Warriors management who are saying that. But yeah, we'll see. Again, Steve played Anthony Lamb last season. Like there are minutes there. JTA minutes, whatever, those kind of minutes.
To your original point, I do wonder where he'd be at year three if he was a 30-minute per night. Like, Jalen Green, name your rookie in his class that have
so many
more minutes, the NBA minutes than him. I just wonder where he would be as a player at this point. But, again,
would he have a ring,
though? The Warriors won the title partly because they were playing Otto Porter. They were playing Bielitsa. So,
this is basically a contract year for him, right? I mean, you negotiate that next contract after your third season. That's where Jordan Poole got the 123. And we know, the money's out there. Kuminga's certainly not on a path towards anything like that. But they have to make a decision on him next October, really. So this season is pretty important.
Yeah, it's not a full contract year because you have that fourth year. You can go restricted free agency, which I think they'd be comfortable with. But what you're saying is right, like a huge year. And
if you're going to make 100, you have to do it now, basically, in the Warriors' minds. You can do it after the next season, but this is a pretty big year. And, if you don't do much for three seasons in the NBA – then, the odds really start shrinking about what you're going to end up with. And we all know he's talented. We all know his skills. They're there. Just a matter of how they can fit him into what they're doing. He's, 22 years old? Like, he's still very young. He and Moody are quite young. And they do kind of need a whole – I was going to ask him. It was not going to be a question he was going to address. But, it was this whole young wave, all these guys, all this talent, and now it's – basically just you and Moody. That's it. And I guess Bojemski and Trace Jackson Davis, if you want to throw them into. But no Wiseman, no Ball, no Rollins, no Jordan. Like, they're all those
they've
guys
become the middle child, like Looney was. Looney has elevated, and now they've filled into his space. They're basically OGs at 21.
OGs at 21 and without much playing time.
Much playing time. Hey, that was
Looney. Well, I guess Looney was out for a couple of years, so he wasn't getting a ton of playing time by 21. But he got it pretty quickly after that. Yeah, where Kuminga, it's Paul does not like this construction, but it's up to Chris Paul to see where Kuminga can go. I think it's not going to happen all the time with the stars, the main guys. It's up to Chris Paul. It hadn't worked so great. Maybe Chris Paul can kind of adjust the course of Kuminga's career.
Agreed. Any other week one topics before we get out of here?
Dallas runs, according to David Lombardi, 63% of the time, a cover one. Feels like a big week for Brandon Ayuk.
He really is into this.
NFL, I mean, we could talk about the Dolphins' massive L in Buffalo, but
sometimes you need to be humble.
You can't be scoring 70. You can't be scoring 70 every week. I thought they might give up 70.
I was thinking Buffalo should go for 70. Should go 70-20. Let's go. Well,
my guy, Big Fan Joe, would not have liked that very much, although they were not looking. Their DBs are a little rough. Anyway, people are not listening to. I guess they are listening to a little bit for Miami, plus minus, but we'll skip over that. I think Saturday's really interesting. I do think.
Really?
They want to see stuff. Like, I think it's interesting to them. They want to see stuff, whatever the Lakers throw at them. I don't know. It's the Lakers opener, too. So
Yes.
I think the Lakers are going to want to see some stuff. They're not going to just throw all, you know, whoever else they've got at the bottom of their roster.
I hope the Lakers go, everybody plays and they go very big, because I would like to see a big lineup against a small Warrior.
And, you know, Chris Paul working against some real players and to see how this all fits together. I want to see it. I'll be there.
Okay.
MT, you're going to be just studying your Cowboys film? You're not going to be there Saturday?
Yeah, I'm rolling with
No, Marks will already Christian be asleep. McCaffrey, he needs a good night's sleep before Sunday.
Got to get ready for the Sunday night game. Yep. Got to get ready.
MT's hanging with Dion. You're going to be Dion sideline pass.
You know, Arizona State.
Marcus, do you have any stories that are coming out this week, Warriors-wise, you might want to tease?
I do, but I need to finish them first before I start teasing.
So you can't tease them? All right, fine.
I mean, I got my San Quentin piece coming. I'm so far along on that. I could, you know.
Please. That's coming out. I mean, that would be.
Does Bob Myers go on these anymore, or is he out of that?
Nah, he wasn't there. He wasn't there.
Because that was a big thing for Bob.
It's the Mike Dunleavy show now.
Wow.
Mike Dunleavy show is in the building.
Bob started it, and it was.
Is there any part of that San Quentin piece you want to detail on the pod or no? I know there's some good stuff coming out in it, so people should read it regardless. But
Nah.
Okay, everyone read it then.
it'll be for Warriors fans anyway, a unique look at Chris Paul. You're going to learn a lot about Chris Paul.
Well, that sounds like something they might want to read.
Wow, now I got to read it. Now I got to read it.
Now you got to read it. You wasn't going to read it.
I got to read it. Wasn't so sure. But MT basically, like the MT initial piece on the San Quentin stuff was one of the big original stories of the
app. Man, that's the problem, man. Like, I feel like
you're measuring against yourself. Don't do that. Don't get in your head. Hey, look at this. Like, I praise him, and now that's a problem. Like, that was one of the foundational pieces for the Athletic Bay Area.
I can already hear TK like, oh, this is pretty good. I mean, it's not the last one, but this is pretty good. It's like,
I just remember when he filed that back when I was editing. He was like, 4,000 words? What the hell? My God. And we ran them.
That was such a unique experience to submit something. I was like, I'm just going to put it all out here. Let's just see, you know, figure we get it down to two, you know. But if it was like at the former place we worked at, it'd be like, all right, we need 800.
Yeah, 800's good. 800's good. And a chart, please.
You just read it all. I was like,
sorry, MT and I are reminiscing about some other days here.
My bad, Slater.
It's all good.
Slater was there. He wasn't at San Quentin, but he was part of it.
Who was?
Slater.
Oh,
yes. Part of it.
Slater's part of everything.
You never been to San Quentin?
No, actually, my dad used to play baseball in San Quentin. You know,
You should go.
I've never been.
You should go. Write a story about that. It's all good.
Our outlet, it always gets pitched to Marcus. So.
Yeah, that's okay. Should go to MT. All right. I think we've gone through everything here, including San Quentin.
We will talk to y'all. Probably after Saturday's game, if Tim seems fired up, so I might have to get an all-in-two out of him.
Maybe I should calm down a little bit. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe you should. I mean, yeah. We'll see.
I should just skip it.
If it's storyline fueled.
He is ready.
Skip it.
All right. We might talk to you post-game Saturday night. We'll see.
Hey.
All right. Peace.
Thank you.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.